Hello, you're listening to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. If some of our discussions and tips are working for you, why don't you grab a 15-minute call with us at ecommercecall.com. We'll see whether we can help scale your e-commerce business. We will quickly see if we're a fit or whether we can recommend someone else to get you where you need to go. The worst case is you'll have a fun 15-minute chat, and regardless, you'll come away understanding a lot more about your business. Book a call at ecommercecall.com. Hello and welcome to the Hamerty Brothers e-commerce podcast. This week, Ian are diving into debunking the belief that replatforming is always the route to riches in e-commerce. New technology doesn't necessarily mean new sales, and therefore we want to talk about all the things you can do on your site without having to have massive amounts of investment. Get the core right, increase the sales, increase the scalability, and then make sure the technology fits the business model and not the other way around. So let's get started. Hi Ian, how are you doing?
Hello Mark, excellent. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm in a wintry New Zealand now, and apparently you're sitting there in nice sunshine in the UK.
It is hot. Change. It's lovely, yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
God, beautiful.
Well done. I bet you feel responsible.
For absolutely.
Yes. Well, today what we wanted to talk about was I wanted to break this kind of myth that you need to kind of replatform or change loads of code to actually sell a lot more sales on your e-commerce site. Because I think that, you know, it's sometimes between a rock and a hard place. Sometimes you do need to replatform, and obviously there's a benefit to replatforming, but you don't have the money to do it because obviously your site's not selling. So what I prefer to do is get some sales out of the existing store, so then you're in a comfortable position to make the decision to move to the next one. So this podcast is all going to be about what you can do really without changing any code on your website or very minimal code.
And it's about what you can do without spending a load of money on development.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's ultimately. And I think the trouble is, you go to any agency, and you come into the thing, and they're going to want to try and sell you a site because that's what they sell. It's like when I went up to, I remember going up to someone who was selling hot dogs, and I don't really like eating crappy sausages. And I was like, are they good sausages? And I suddenly went, what's she going to say? She's going to say it's a good sausage. And she did, but she's not going to go, no, we sell terrible sausages. You know, it's like you're walking into a shop, aren't you? When you walk into an agency, build websites.
The default thing, you go to a new agency, they're going to try and sell you a new platform, or they're going to, you know, a lot of the time they say, yeah, your problem is your platform. And I think even, you know, e-commerce managers fall down into that trap as well. Continue blaming the platform. And it's the ultimate shiny distraction. You know, where we keep saying there's lots of shiny distraction in the e-commerce industry, shiny things all over the place to distract ourselves. And a platform is the ultimate shiny distraction that can cost a huge amount and waste so much time. I mean, obviously, it can, sometimes it is the right decision.
Yeah.
But the fundamental question is if people aren't buying your stuff right now, changing the platform isn't going to make you suddenly more competitive, or isn't going to change your value proposition. It's not going to change anything fundamental around your pain points and your anxieties and things like that. So it's not the right answer in a lot of cases.
No. And I mean, people, it's like if you had a restaurant and you did a makeover, you are going to get, you do a redesign, you are going to get more customers because it's done a redesign. But,
your ingredients and is going to stay the same.
Yeah. And you're horrible to customers. I mean, it's not going to change your value proposition. So, you've got to be wary that certain things are changed by technology and design and certain things aren't. And I think that you're saying with shiny things, I think that the same with like Shopify extensions. A new one will come out, and you'll be convinced that it's going to be the difference between
you know, no sales and hundreds of sales. And that's certainly how the copy of the extensions is written. And there's a reason for that, is because people really want to believe that. They really want to believe that you can kind of buy an extension, stick it on your site, and then you'll be rich, because that would be nice and easy, wouldn't it? You know, we just put on the that Wheel of Fortune spinner on
like
the website.
You plug it in and it's got this amazing self-learning algorithm that just revolutionizes. It's going to make, all of a sudden, it's going to make stuff that really is uncompetitive, and we haven't done our market square test. We don't even know if we're more expensive than everyone else. We don't even know how our returns policy compares. You know, it's all those things are completely irrelevant. You know, this is just going to revolutionize, and we're going to get to, you know, 10 million. Yeah. And it's absolute nonsense. So the good thing is that the biggest effect on your growth costs nothing.
Yeah. And in fact, a lot of the stuff we talk about every week, and a lot of stuff in the course and the mentoring stuff, is about actually upskilling the person behind the business so that they can actually make a lot more sales without having to change a huge amount of technology, because that's what we've done over time. Because we haven't always had extra budget. Yeah. We just needed to make the site works.
I think often, and we've worked with clients that haven't had masses of budgets or massive brands, and we've had to make do with what we've got. Because, you know, a lot of clients have said, well, look, let's prove that the revenue is there, and then the investment will come.
Yeah.
It's always been that way around. We've never had a client that said, oh, here's £500,000. Off you go, boys. It's always been, right, prove that the return on investment's there. And then we go. So that's why we've always had to make do with very little.
So
and work harder.
Where would you start? We're with a site, and we don't want to re-platform. We don't want to have to make any code changes. We need some more sales. Where would we start?
Yeah. Well, the first thing you should do is start with the numbers. Start with the target sheet. So you look at the maths. And if anybody knows, has listened to these podcasts or read the book, the target sheet is something that we bang on a lot about. And it's essentially a glorified Excel spreadsheet, but it's unique to our method. And essentially, it shows where you are now, where you want to be in a year, 2 years, and then 3 years. And essentially, it's got traffic, average order value, add to basket percentage, basket to checkout, and checkout to order, and obviously traffic on it. And so you're putting down a line in the sand, and you say, right, these are our metrics. And you say, right, we want to get to, let's say, 6 million. What do the metrics need to look like? And where are we now? And then you straight away, you know which metrics you need to focus on. So, for example, you know, your add to basket should be 10%. It depends on what you're selling, but on average, 10% add to basket, 55% basket to checkout, checkout to order 85%. They're the sort of like good numbers to go for. So to go into a re-platform and not do this exercise first, let's say you're not going into new platform, but if you've not done that exercise, if you've not put your target sheet together, you've put that on. I mean, obviously, we'll send over our dummy target sheet, because it essentially just put your numbers in and it works all out for you. You have to do that, because that shows where your weaknesses and strengths are. So you've got to do that first and foremost.
Yeah. Well, also it gives you fundamental. It comes down to what revenue you want to do each month moving forward. So what would you be happy with? You know, what do you want to do? And then you kind of take a step back from that. Say, if we wanted to do an extra £10,000 next month, what would our revenue, would our traffic have to look like? What would our ad to basket have to look like? What would our average order value? So then it kind of gives you an idea about what changes
you need decisions to make. Because, you know, it all of a sudden, this huge, big list of things that you want to do with your e-commerce site, this scattergun approach, all of a sudden has focus, and you know exactly what thing to do in what order, you know, for the biggest return on investment. And really, the roadmap exercise, essentially, it's just what can we do now that's going to cost us very little, that's going to take very little time. What's the biggest lever we can pull for the minimum amount of time and cost? So it makes it really obvious.
Yeah,
you can just do different scenarios. Well, if we got another £2 to our average order value, what would happen? What would happen if we got our ads basket up from 6% to 8%? You can see it all.
Now, most people who are listening to this, who are in that position where they haven't got the money to replatform and kind of need some more sales, I would bet that 90% of those people need to work on their ads basket rate, because if they haven't got, they've got a low ads basket rate, but they've got some modicum of traffic, then then if their ads basket's low, they're not going to be getting any sales.
Yeah.
So, and that is also kind of like limiting them. They can't go and do paid traffic because their ads basket's too low. So again, it's another rock and a hard place. Can't get paid traffic to get traffic, but can't make traffic convert. Yeah. So,
the lovely thing about that is that it doesn't really take any technology to improve that. And you're absolutely right. The first thing that we often see with clients is their add-to-basket stat is too low, and it's getting worse as a culprit, because obviously a lot of traffic's landing on the product pages now when they used to be landing on home pages and category pages, because the whole of Google's turning into a paid tool, and obviously Google Shopping and Facebook product ads are coming straight to the product page. So the reason why clients will be finding that their ad to basket stat is too low, and so we're saying anything below, we would say probably 7% is low.
And unless you're selling like furniture for £1,000 or something.
So a normal site, let's say average order value, £70, lifetime customer value 1.5 times a year. We would say that your ads basket stat really should be about 10%. So if it's less than 7, there's a problem. And if your ad to basket stat's low, it's because your bounce rate's too high. And why is your bounce rate too high? Well, it's probably because something's wrong with that product page. It's all very simple layout changes, isn't it? It's just moving things around. You can do that with any platform you're on, isn't it?
But I think the biggest get out of jail card for e-commerce and pretty much any business is learning how to make better offers. If you could get the right offer, you can sell. And over the last 20 years, that's been one of the biggest educations for me, is the difference between people rocking up on a site and then seeing the product and having an offer. And the offer doesn't necessarily need to be a discount offer, but it needs to be something that is compelling, that makes people buy today, and it works. Mm. And that's the difference between a big site and a small site.
Yeah. And you can do these on any platform. It doesn't matter what you're on, Magento, Shopify, WooCommerce.
Yeah,
WordPress, a homegrown custom thing. It doesn't make any difference what you're on. You can still do these things. But if you think about the journey that people take, I mean, first of all, you land on the product page, and often it's a dead end page. So there's only one product on there, and people need to see other things. So they're searching for blue jumper. They're not going to buy the first blue jumper they land on. So they want to see other, where it sits within the category. So you're showing them related products, first of all. And then it's desirability, convincibility, that this is the right product and this is the right company. So I quite like that now. I like the look of that. And then you go through the pain points, the anxieties, what people worry about when they're buying this blue jumper. And once you solve all of those things, then you hit them with the offer, the offer architecture to get people to buy now. And those, I don't think there's anything in our course, our mentoring course, and in our book, and in the podcast, I don't think we've ever said technology is going to solve this fundamental thing. Have we?
No.
We very rarely say, because we see them as, you've got to get your foundation right. Don't go off piece too soon.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's what it's about. And I think a lot of people I talk to on email, they go, "Oh, well, I don't want to, you know, do anything with you until I've got my site. You know, I'm redoing my site." And it's like, well, you kind of need to be talking and reading the book right now, because it's actually about you, the owner, and getting your skills up so they actually can make it work once it's live, because it's not really make any difference just replatforming. And you need to come at it with a different mindset. But I wanted to just go back to offers a little bit, because there's a way to do offers that actually make them bigger than the sum of their parts. And the first one is you see it all the time on the high street, which is just like, oh, 20% off. And it's meaningless. It's not believable. And it doesn't do anything. So the first thing is to have a reason why you're having an offer. So, you know, a reason why would be, oh, you know, we're doing 20% off because it's Ian's birthday. Or we're doing, it's our anniversary, so we're doing 25% off. Or we're doing 3-for-1, whatever it is, because it's, you know, there's an event.
Yeah.
So the first step is a reason why. That makes a big difference, because, A, it allows you to theme the offer and have a bit more of an entertainment value in it. Makes it more believable, and it's a psychological influence technique to have a reason why. The next step to take it to the next level is to understand your customer, who they are, and to understand where they are inside their mind in terms of what they are thinking about. So let's say your customer is particularly interested in high fashion and they're really into London Fashion Week, for example. Now you then will have an offer based around London Fashion Week, even if you're nothing to do with London Fashion Week, because you know in their mind that's what they're thinking about. So if you're selling camping and caravan goods, and that, you know, there's the big NEC show in October every year, you would then have an offer for camping and caravan show, even if you had nothing to do with the show, because that's where they are in their mind. Like, for example, you've just in the UK, you've had the long weekend. Everybody is in mind. They're having the long weekend, looking forward to it. So that's where they are. So therefore you make the offer. And these offers that make sense to them, because that's where what they're thinking about in their mind, it's almost like walking alongside them and saying, oh, I see you walking along the path and I'm here with you and I've got a special offer and we're doing a special offer because of this thing. And they go, oh, that makes sense. There's a reason why. And then the next step to take it even further is to make it believable. So you want to train your email list to because everybody's so sick of offers and they're not believable. They're sending them all the time. So you almost want to send an email out before, like a couple of days before, and tell them not to buy, which goes against everything they've heard from everybody. So you send an email out a couple of days out saying, don't buy in the next couple of days on the email list because we're going to have a big deal this weekend. Just letting you know that it's coming. And I didn't want you to miss out and buy it. And then when you send the email on the Friday night, when you're starting for the weekend offer, they believe it. And because you've told them it's coming, you know, no one's ever actually told them not to buy before. And so you're just layering on a lot of psychological triggers into your offer architecture. And there's a lot more I could go on, but I just think those simple ones are the way to get started. So reason why, be where the customer is in their mind, and then make it believable by, you know, actually telling them it's going to work and when it's going to work and when not to buy.
And that
those three
end.
Things. And it's going to end. Yeah.
And it's got time bound elements on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in fact, one of my e-commerce sites that I set up the autoresponder series, the first email they got on the autoresponder series was an offer that took them to a sold out page so that everybody saw the first thing they got, they went and clicked on it, they went and saw it was all sold out. So therefore, they believed that all my offers from that point on were actually true, and if they didn't act soon, they'd miss out. So it was about training them that if they didn't act quickly, they would miss out. So if you are interested in psychology of offers and triggers, the book on, I think it's called Yes or Psychology of Influence by Robert Cialdini. It's a fascinating read. So, you know, over the years, I've taken a lot of stuff from that kind of influence training and put that into my offers, and it's made a really big difference. But just putting those simple tricks into your offers will raise your desirability and your acceleration and your motivation in your store for people to buy right now. And it is a complete game changer for a business, getting the offer architecture right.
I think that's the biggest thing. And it's probably, like you say, you know, if you re-platform from one to another, you know, if you don't change anything to do with your, you know, your value proposition or your, I mean, ultimately you're out to basket, checkout to order. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't change it, because the things there, the offer architecture manifests itself in the conversion rate, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the basket to order, particularly the basket to order stats.
Yeah.
You
know,
you often find that if the product page is okay, and you know, that it's doing a reasonable job of actually presenting the product in the right way, that it looks good, you know, the add to basket stat is okay, and then you find that the people leave it in the basket as like a dumping ground, and that's when you then need to really go into that sense of urgency to try to get them to act now, and scarcity, of course.
Yeah. So a lot of the sites now, like Shopify, you can't actually change the checkout. You can only change the basket and the pages that come before it. So you really have to have made the momentum strong enough to push them
I think in terms of the, you know, let's say you haven't got budgets right now, because it might be that the cash is there, but you haven't got the budget. You can't, you know, if you're working at a big company, you can't get the budget. So, you know, you daren't go to your boss and ask him to sign off this budget. You know, he's just going to laugh at you. You know, it's like, all right, well, what can we do right now? And probably the best thing is to go through the checklist of, because we've done a checklist of category, product page, basket, all the different steps, homepage as well. And it's saying, right, and I think most of them have got like, you know, 20 or 15 or 20 points on them. And, you know, it will probably be really good to go, right, how much of these can we do on our current platform? And I bet you'd probably be able to do 90% of them right now. So it'll be things like on the product page, we say, okay, is the add to basket button above the fold? Yes, no. Is the in-stock declaration by the add to basket button? Yes, no. You know, have we got related categories on there as well as related products? Yes, no. You'd go through those steps because they're the kind of fundamental ones of what needs to go where, which is because the layout, it's essentially like, you know, we might find that, you know, the returns policy, you know, when we do, obviously we'd say go and do the market square test as well, which is how you compare against your competitors in terms of price and returns policy and delivery and things like that. And if you say, well, you know, our returns policy is actually really good, but it's hidden within our terms and conditions page, or it's really far down on the product page and no one can find it because it's hidden within a tab. I mean, God, how many e-commerce sites do we find that hide all the returns and delivery information within a tab? You know, you just pull it out of the tab. Don't hide it in the tab. Pull it out of the tab and show it. And that's just a case of moving a little block from one place on the page to up in the right place.
Adding things to the product copy that people see and putting it in front of them. And, you know, like anxiety is key. You know, if you don't know the key anxiety, and it's what you think it is, you might think the anxiety is this, but it might be something completely different. Because at the end of the day, you don't buy from your store. You probably don't.
Yeah.
You probably haven't bought that product from it, because every time you want one, you just go down to the warehouse and say, "I'll have one of those, thank you very much." It's no anxiety for you.
You know it inside out. You've forgotten the anxiety because you're too far away from your customer's mindset. You know, because you know your product so well. You know, you just forget what it's like to be in that. Right, I've got to go and buy an oak stool for my kitchen. You know, you forget what it's like to go through that research phase. You start off in Google, you look at your Google shopping in front of you, and then you're landing on a page, and what are you looking for? You've got to go through that market square test.
It's very rare, isn't it?
There's something that, you know, there's a lot that you can do within your current platform that doesn't cost any money. And most of it, as you say, is upskilling your own education. I mean, it's a bit like you know, look at the categories. If you've got a categories that are bouncing at 50% or more, you know, predominantly it's because your products are in the wrong position on the category page. They're too far down. You haven't merchandised it. Or your categories are too deep, you know, or they're too narrow. You know, like, these are like basic things on any e-commerce site. It doesn't matter what platform you're on. But you've got to know where to look. You know, you've got to know what the data is saying. You go with what the data is telling you. Ignore the stuff in the middle. Look at what's bad. Look at what's good. Focus on those two.
And
ends.
I think the danger of going into replatform without knowing this is, you know, if you're going to do it and invest that money, you know the e-commerce designer at the agencies, they don't know. They don't know what your anxieties and keys. They'll just basically do what looks pretty. Yeah. And, you know, it's the same thing when we look at, when all the designs have to come through us, because the reason for that is because, you know, we know. And we're going, well, why have you moved the search there? So that search for the site is really important. It's like 20% of the traffic actually use on-site search. Yeah.
We've hidden it on the mobile because it looked a bit ugly. Yeah. Well, yeah, it might look a little bit ugly, but actually you're going to reduce the revenue by 20% there on mobile. So that will cost you £200,000.
Yeah. So you've got to upskill yourself, so you know when the agency comes back with a new design, you kind of go, this isn't how my customers buy. And it's the same thing with there was that huge site that we actually built, and we didn't do the design. It was a conversion rate agency to do it, and they spent maybe £50,000 on the design. And then we got the design, obviously we implemented the design, and then the sales tanked. And then they came to us and says, well, why did it tank? And it's like, well, you've taken off the all products page on the category page, and that's how people shopped. You've just taken it away. And it's because fundamentally no one actually sat there and sat down and says, well, how do people buy from this business? What's the flow? What are people doing? And, you know, obviously we didn't have the control over it because we were given the design, and we kind of said, well, that's what you want.
Well, it's interesting because the conversion or the Crow agency was obsessed with things like, right, we've got to have a little little message that, you know, on the image on the product page lets people know that they can scroll left and right. You know, this little thing will come up, and you know, they were obsessed with the user interface of it. You know, what the error message would come up with if you put your delivery dressing wrong, rather than it being, you know, error delivery. They were like, oh, sorry, your delivery message isn't quite right. You know, whereas there was nothing around the core focus around anxiety and those pain points and the journey people make, and is the product page a dead end page? And there was none of this understanding about bounce rates and, you know, add to basket stats. It was really weird. So you've got to start with the numbers, because if you don't know the numbers, you're just blind. Yeah. And you'll go into doing a replatform completely blind again, and actually probably get it wrong.
Well, I think as an owner, you need to know, you need to understand, if you want to be successful in your business, you need to understand the core of your business. Because otherwise, if you don't understand the core of why that business is successful, you are almost playing dice and throwing darts in a mirror by trying to find people to help you, because you look at them and go, oh, he seems like a well-dressed chap. He knows what he's talking about. He's got a spreadsheet. Look at the spreadsheet. Gosh,
you will not get this from a typical e-commerce agency.
Well,
they're
just developers. They're run by developers most of the time,
or designers.
Yeah,
they're either pretty designers or coders.
I don't want to get into that. I mean, I think there's a lot of good agencies out there. I don't think, but all I want to do is get the e-commerce owner or the e-commerce manager to upskill themselves so they know how to make the right decisions, because it's, you know, the agency works very hard to get the site out, and it's a lot of work, and it's a shame for everybody if it doesn't work. So it's most important to actually make sure that it's doing a good job and it actually does what it does. Anyway, I think we've gone a bit off tangent.
Do you know what? I would say one thing, I totally agree with that, but the first thing is, go into your site right now and look at your bounce rate for your product pages. I mean, bounce rate for home category and product But you know, look at, so homepage should be less than 25%. So this just gives you an indication of how healthy your site, where the problem is, because homepage should be less than 25, category less than 50, and products less than 60. So if you straight away now, you can go into your landing pages in Google Analytics and look at the last, you know, 3 months and look at the most popular landing pages with the highest bounce rate, and then look at the products that are bouncing high and see which ones are bouncing at, you know, 75-80%, and go to those product pages and go, why are 85% of people bouncing when they get to this product page? You know, it's a good product. You know, I've had 5,000 people in the last, you know, 2 weeks land on this page, and 85% of them bounced. You know, what is wrong with it? Go to that page yourself, and you know, is it the product? Is it the image? Is it the description? Is it the fact that it's out of stock? Is it the price? Is it the fact that they don't know if it's in stock? You know, go to it and then go and optimize it, and you know, and go do it from that perspective. And it's never really a tech game.
No. Another trick I like to do is get some post-purchase feedback. So on the order thank you page, ask them if they have any feedback. But then the next question is ask them what the job to be done. What were you buying this for? And then match that to the product. And if you find a lot of products have been bought for, like going on a cruise, then go back to that product in that copy image, say great for cruises, because then you'll know that a lot of people hitting that page is wanting to buy that for a cruise, or I wanted to buy that for that job. So find out the job that people are buying them for, and then go and put that into your product copy for those individual products. Because then you're aligning with the market, you've not had to change any code, and you're starting to talk around the job that to be done rather than that product, you know, whatever it is. And the other thing I would say, let's say your site looks rubbish and you know it looks rubbish. Sometimes you can reframe that to make it work. So I'll give you an example of, it was a jewelry business I saw the other day. And obviously jewelry businesses normally look really, really flash, and they need to look because they're aspirational. But there was some, this guy had gone, you know, we're a workshop, we make everything. And, you know, we've got a, you know, our website's not flash, but the reason is because we're actually artisans and we work on the jewelry. We don't want to work on our website. So it kind of reframed it as like, you're going to get direct artisan prices without a flashy website. So they kind of like, you know, ugly sells sometimes. Same times there was someone who was personalizing wine, and it was the website was awful. And he said, you know, look, we're a family business. This is what we do. Here's some videos of what we're going to do. We're going to do a beautiful product, but you know, our website's not going to flash because we're just a small family business. And people wanted to buy from a small family business. Mm. So it reframed.
Funny,
it
added credibility in some respects, didn't it?
Yeah. So again, there's a reason why, you know, if people come to the site, you know, it looks rubbish, you can maybe tie that into your tagline. You know, it's like when we used to work with Cheap Life jackets. That was a long time ago. It was one of the first customers, and you know, you don't really want a Cheap Life jacket if the shit hits the fan, do you? Because you think, well, I want it to work. But it was like he said Cheap Life jackets, and it was, what was the tagline? It was silly name, serious about safety. So he kind of got around the fact that you know, because people wanted, on one hand, they wanted the cheapest life jackets possible. So they wanted to buy a decent price life jacket. At the same time, they wanted to make sure that they were actually safe. So he kind of repositioned the name to make it into a winning business. And it worked. And he exited from the business, didn't he?
Yeah.
So it's about positioning. It's about framing. And you can do a lot of that with how you would twist it. But let's say, the best jewelry sites are always going to be ones that look very nice, but you know, it could get you to a place. It could help you by reframing it. So.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's essentially going through the exercise that we talk about, you know, the market square test, you know, the anxiety,
anxieties, you know, the processes
to be done, you know, and the offer architecture.
Yeah.
You know, it's all those things. I mean, I think sometimes a platform can help with, you know, if you've got like a, you know, an average order value problem and you want to do multi-buys or crazy promotions, you know, buy two, get, you know, buy three, get two, you know, whatever. What's the promo? Yeah. Bloody hell. Buy buy three for two, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that sometimes the technology can't do those things. But you know, what a platform can't do is, you know, is anything to do with your competitive value proposition. You know, you've got to make sure you bang on them. You've got to make sure your price architecture is right, your delivery is right, returns rate's right. You know, you're answering the critical, you know, problems that people have. Because if people are really bothered about price, then you need to do a price match promise.
Should be about an acceleration of something you found out in the market. You like go, we now know where this market is all about this. And so therefore we need to do more of this. We can't do that on our platform because of X, Y, and Z. So therefore we need to find a platform that can do more of that special thing that we need to do. And have, when we get
what's so interesting,
we can zoom.
You're absolutely right. That's the only time you should consider it, if it's just complete no-brainer. So many times when we meet a client, they say, oh, yeah, well, we replatformed 2X, whatever it was, and our sales tank. You know, I hear that all the time. You know, you've got to work out what, and it's the opposite. The expectation is the opposite. Is that, you know, all right, yeah, we'll replatform and then the sales are going to really grow. Well, we won't.
Yeah.
You know, it won't. And, you know, because it's, how is it going to all of a sudden convince people to buy something?
Yeah.
You know, it isn't. It's not going to change the way people feel about it fundamentally. Although, you know, you've got to get in that, you know, look at the numbers. Got to be driven by the numbers.
It's got to be driven by the market as well. And it's got to be where the market is, and you've got to understand what you've got to do to make it work. Anyway, I think we'll finish there because we've been going half an hour.
Yeah.
And exciting as we are, I think you know, it's a good chunk. And if you do have any feedback on the podcast, or you want us to cover some topic, then please let us know. If you haven't got a copy of the book, you can grab it at www.ecommercebook.co.uk. That can help you get started on your journey. There's a lot of bonuses with that, and there's also a follow-up sequence of helpful emails with some case study videos on them as well. So that's really going to help you out. So have a great week, everybody, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye.